this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. And our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days, when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back.
Welcome back, folks. This is Maggie Rose, and you're listening to us here on RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, live from the great Pacific Northwest. Today's date is October 30th, 2023, and yes, you're listening to the Concord Hour live. I'm going to be inviting people in the last 20 minutes of the show who want to call in to the network and share their stories if they want. I want them to feel like they have a platform where they can tell their stories of the things that have happened to them regarding the Veterans Administration. And in the months and the weeks and months ahead, we're going to be covering more about the VA until we start seeing some positive changes. Now, folks, I can't speak for all the VAs around the nation, the Veterans Administration hospitals, but I can certainly speak regarding three of them that I have personal knowledge about, that I have personally been a client or a patient or a veteran that I have been sometimes serviced and sometimes not. And what I'm going to be bringing up today is going to be very difficult. I've been telling the VA, and we've gone through probably, I don't know, between 10 and 15 directors in the last 20 years. I kid you not. I'm talking about Douglas County in Oregon. I'm talking specifically about the Roseburg VA and Vision 20, which is based out of Vancouver Barracks, Washington. So to get an idea of where Vision 20 has their headquarters, and they say they only answer to the VA in Washington, D.C. Well, obviously, the VA in Washington, D.C. have their heads where the sun don't shine, and they're not really paying attention to what's happening here on the West Coast. And I'm going to kind of bring up a couple of stories which can substantiate what I'm saying to you. Vision 20 is located in Vancouver Barracks, Washington. It's right when you leave Portland and you're crossing over the bridge, crossing over the water to actually drive into the state of Washington, which is above Oregon, for those of you that don't know your geography. And that is supposedly where Vision 20 is. And Vision 20 handles like Portland VA Administration Hospital, the other clinics that are between Portland and Eugene. They're supposed to handle Roseburg VA as well as White City. which is down in the Medford area of Oregon, in the southern portion of Oregon. White City many years ago was turned into a place basically for veterans that are trying to detox from drugs or that have alcohol problems, that sort of thing. And that's where most of them go. And they can actually have a residential program that is there in White City. So I'm bringing up today some things. And after what happened to me today and the slap in the face that I got from the director of the Roseburg VA, whose name is Patrick Hull, H-U-L-L, I am going to just let it all hang out, folks, and let the dust fall where it may, because he doesn't seem to realize that he has a very awesome responsibility to not only clean up the messes that his people before him, predecessors before him, but also to try to bring the Roseburg VA to the sort of glory that it supposedly had once upon a time, even before I got here 20 years ago. So this is completely a different topic than what I was going to cover today. The other topics we'll probably be covering on Friday with my co-host, Chris Brumbles, who is also an Army vet and who will not even use the VA because of some of the things that I'm going to be bringing up to you today. Now, you may have some veterans out there that say they're getting okay care. Okay is not good enough. Or some of them saying, oh, we think we're getting good care. Maybe because they don't know any better. I don't know. But I'm going to bring you up some personal stories of my very own. This is not hearsay. This is not conspiracy. This is fact. And I know there's some people out there that either have family members that work at the Roseburg VA or people that I've invited to listen to tonight's program, because I am here for you, and I'm including the employees in this, because it really makes me angry to see the way that the VA employees and the classified and non-classified are being treated at the Roseburg VA. It's bad enough that they're treating some of us veterans like second-class and third-class veterans, especially some of us women. But the way they've treated some of their employees is absolutely inexcusable. And am I angry? Yes, I am. Am I going to just sit back and just sit on my soapbox here and talk about it? No, because I've been telling them for a long time that if they didn't get their act together, if I didn't get a director that was actually going to listen to me and say, yes, let's work together on this as a team. Yes, let's work to these issues together. But so far, we have not got a single director at the Roseburg, Oregon VA Administration Hospital that has the cojones to come out of his ivory tower and talk the talk and walk the walk as well. I have not seen it yet. And I am speaking from experience, folks. So for those of you listening to Republic Broadcasting Network for the first time, I apologize, but I want you to really listen, because I want you now to please sit up and take note. Whatever city you live in, whatever state you live in, if you're even dealing with the VA system or clinics overseas for those veterans that have retired overseas, if you have any dealings or have family members or friends or neighbors that have any dealings with the VA administration in the United States of America, you need to listen to this. A little bit of my background. I volunteered for Vietnam in 1974 to be a medical corpsman, to go overseas to Vietnam as we were pulling out and help bring home our soldiers, the injured, the wounded, and those that had scars that were inside that you cannot see, and bring our babies home, the Amerasian, the orphan baby lift or Operation Baby Lift that was going on at the time. I was trained to be a medical corpsman. I was also trained to be a combat medic. Years later, I became a CPR instructor with the American Heart Association. I was rerouted to Korea, where I was in December of 74, and Vietnam fell in 75, April. Many of the injured and the wounded, we call the walking wounded, came in through the 121 evacuation hospital in Seoul, Korea. And my first assignment as a 19-year-old was to work on the psychiatric ward. We had two wards, an open ward, a closed ward, and also alcohol drug detox. I later on went to become an ambulance driver. After my 12-month tour turned into a 13-month tour and my second Christmas in Korea, I was then sent to Fort Ord, Monterey, Silas B. Hayes Army Hospital, where I was stationed for a couple more years of active duty, helping run the clinics, doing flight physicals, and taking care of some of the veterans that were coming through there. I then ended up working for an Army Reserve unit and did some more years off and on in the active duty military, some in the National Guard in three different states. I did flight physicals. On the side as a civilian, when I wasn't on active duty, I helped run convalescent hospitals. I was sometimes the night nurse. The licensed nurse was in charge on the night shift. I've had a lot of training that your registered nurses go through. I've had a lot of experience working in trauma, urgent care, emergency room, ICU, as well as many other different disciplines in the medical field, medical, surgical, you name it. I worked in psychiatric hospitals, civilian, as well as Kaiser and Telecare Corporation, where I saw some of my patients being abused. And as a result of the neglect, one of my patients died because the signs and symptoms of a stroke were being ignored. Fortunately, I had learned by that time to keep really good notes and a really good journal of everything. Dates, names, places. Rather than using names, I would memorize the initials and the sex of the person that went with those initials. So that way, if my journal ever came into the wrong hands, at least I would be able to know what it stood for, and I would not be compromising what we call HIPAA. It was very important that I made sure I journaled down every issue, every problem from that point on, including what went on in my own family. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some really good people that work in the VA, some outstanding licensed nurses and MAs. I ran into one of them today who she met me out in front of the facility as I was walking in, and she saw how upset I was, and I was discussing with my husband, also a veteran, that I could not believe the phone call I had just received. She did not disagree with any of the things that I shared with her that have been ongoing at the Roseburg VA for the last 20 years. There are so many good MAs and licensed nurses and registered nurses at the Roseburg VA, but so many of them are quitting and going to other facilities because they are being abused, folks. Yes, I'm not using that word lightly. They are being abused, in many cases neglected, and they are not being listened to. We have nurse practitioners that are being abused and neglected. Some of them have even been written up by other nurses because the other nurses want them to do this or want them to do that to make their jobs easier. And all it is doing is harming the client, the veteran, the patient. Years ago, I was asked by three phone calls to come to the VA Roseburg to work as a licensed nurse. We lived about 8 hours away at the time. So I filled out the application. I did what we call the KISS, K-I-S-S. And my husband put me in the car and we drove 8 hours to be there by Monday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. I had to sit down with many people at the table who all interviewed me. It was a little bit nerve-wracking. You can imagine, a little bit nervous. But I think I handled it really well. And when they stepped out to the hallway, they told me that they really wanted to hire me. I was the only one that was really qualified, but they knew that HR, Human Resources in Roseburg, Oregon, would not hire me because they said, we're told we have to put this job out there to the public to make it look like we're advertising the job, but we're really not going to be allowed to hire anybody. And I said, you mean it was a waste of my time and yours? And they just looked at me. Their eyes dropped to the floor. They couldn't even look me in the eye. I said, yeah, after 8 hours driving here. They said, try again. The next time something comes up, try again. We're going to push really hard. So again, it came up again. Another application went in. I was called. My husband drove me 8 hours to come up here. I found out later that that job that was being offered was given to two other people not as well qualified as I was. Two people were given the job that I was supposed to be given, and they happened to be family and friends of people that already worked in the Roseburg VA system. So again, it was the good old boys, right? My husband himself tried to apply. My husband had spent over 30 years in the military, both enlisted and as a commissioned officer, retiring. And each time he applied at the Roseburg VA, he was told, oh, well, we can only give this job to a person who's going to do it part-time. He said, I'll take a part-time job. Well, you have to have at least 90% disability. I do have 90% disability. Oh, sorry, we lost your application. We went on vacation and your application disappeared somewhere. So now the closing date is come and gone and we can't even interview. The next time he was told you have to be 100% disabled. Well, now he is 100% disabled, but there are certain jobs that he can do at the VA Roseburg in Oregon. And time again, we were told your applications got lost or we went on vacation. We don't know what happened to your KISS application portion that you filled out. And so after a period of time, we began to realize that the VA Roseburg and Vision 20 are discriminatory. There were many women that were being seen at the Roseburg VA, some of them for 8, 9, 10 years, in various programs. Like there was one group that was called for military women veterans. It was a PTSD and military sexual trauma group. And it was going along very well. They had two people that were there, a Marshall Hall and another one who was an excellent, the other one was just a sweetie. And then all of a sudden she was gone and they brought in another one who had just gotten her master's or PhD or something. I don't know if we were supposed to call her doctor, whatever. She's still there. And she came in with an attitude and the entire chemistry of the women's group changed. And the next thing you knew, Marshall Hall was leaving to go do her own practice on the outside. And we were told that we were going to get another women's group up and running, just like all the many men's groups that they still have going on right now. Do you know it's been more than 8 years and they still don't have the same kind of military sexual trauma, PTSD, women's group that they had then? They tell you that you can go out into the community, but you don't have people in the community that really understand the military culture or what some of the men and women went through as veterans, especially women who've gone through either military sexual trauma while they were in the service or PTSD from their time in service. To this day, we still don't have a real bona fide women's program going. They put up a lot of posters, and now they're putting up posters with the gay lesbian flag dog tags said, not everybody wore these dog tags. And, you know, and little boxes throughout the VA hospital that have on these little pins that you can put on your lapel, the words he, she, them, he, her, whatever. You're supposed to refer to certain people by these nouns or pronouns. That's where our money is going. Or trying to beautify up the campus and saying we really care about veterans. But folks, it's just talking the talk. Time and time again, I have gone to the VA Roseburg and told that there are people there that say they will either quit working at the VA or they will not work at the VA if they have to work with women veterans. And these are providers. Other providers have shared this with us, as well as other veterans have shared this with me, knowing that I'm not afraid to speak out and say something. How many times have we seen in society in just the last few years that if you're a whistleblower or if you speak out, you get slammed, you get threatened, you get blackballed, you get fired because you're speaking out? There are not protections for people within the federal government, and I'm including those poor people working in the VA system that really do care and are really trying to make a difference. When you've had even 10 directors come through the VA Roseburg, Oregon. In the last 20 years, that's too many. It seems like they bring directors here just to kind of, you know, talk the talk, but not really walk the walk, and kind of gloss over things and make it look like they're doing something. But it's the fox in charge of the hen house. We shouldn't have 10 or 15 directors in 20 years. Now, this last director, Patrick Hall, he's only been here 6 months. Yeah, right. But he already knew what he was getting into. He should have hit the ground running. Do you know how many providers throughout the entire VA where I've interviewed them and spoken to them say they haven't even laid eyes on him? He doesn't even come down to their department to find out how they're doing and write down notes and take down notes of what their concerns are. Everybody is so afraid to rock the boat. And who's getting hurt in the long run? The veterans and their families. My father was a veteran there. He was at one point up on the fifth floor of the hospital at that time, which now is no longer being used for that because they say it's unsafe in that part of the building. But he was up there, and I said to them, "You're overwaxing the floor." And they did it anyway. And then they put a slipper over his feet that, because they didn't get a vendor to come in for 3 months, they couldn't seem to get a vendor to come in and get slippers for men that have size 10, 11, 12, or 13 foot. So what did the nurse do? She took a woman size 6 or 7 and she cut it up the side and slipped it over the top part of his foot. Now, what's going to happen if you don't have that slipper grabbing onto the back of your ankle? You're possibly going to slip and fall. He fell and broke his hip. He ended up in another part of the facility where he was living there for 2 years. And they knew they could not leave him alone to dress himself. Supposedly, they were sending them all down to listen to a musical program in another part of the building. They left him alone. He went to try to put on his jacket because no one was seen to him at all. They knew he had dementia, that he was a very tall man, over 6 foot tall, and could easily lose his balance. He fell and broke his other hip. He ended up over at Mercy Hospital in Roseburg, Oregon. Had wonderful care over there. Normally, Mercy is not a place many of us veterans want to go for many different reasons. But he got excellent care there. And they said, when he goes back to the VA Roseburg, make sure he keeps his head elevated. Even if he doesn't like it, elevate his head. Well, the nurses over there were lazy. Well, he doesn't like it when we elevate his head. He wants to be flat. I don't care, I told them. You do it anyway. Well, you all know what happened. He got pneumonia. So I get a call at midnight from one of the nurses there who's a registered nurse who doesn't speak good English. And that's another problem. We keep getting these people in hired that don't speak good English. You can't understand them on the phone. Or we get locums. That's like substitute doctors that are brought in. And she says, you know, your dad's sounding like this and he's sounding like that. What do you think? Do you think he might have pneumonia? Do you think I should send him to the ER? Well, what do you think? Sure enough, he had pneumonia. Well, lo and behold, after this happened, months went by and we had the lockdowns. And the nurses, some of them were retiring, the good ones, and others who are still there, not so good. And they want to use medication as a restraint. Now, back in my day, we had 2-point, 3-point, and 4-point restraints. That's illegal now. So now what nurses are wanting to do, because they don't want to sit with the patient, go out in the lobby and sit down and watch TV with them. They would sit at the nurse's station and chew the fat or whatever they're wanting to do, some of them. I'm not saying all. They want to use drugs to dumb down our clients, our veterans, which causes more of a cognitive decline. It makes them more confused, even more dizzy. So they're using what I call chemical restraints by over-drugging our veterans. Even after the COVID lifted, were they still allowing people to come in and visit the clients? No. Were they giving them the same social outlets that they gave them before, like going to Wildlife Safari in a van or taking them to a zoo or taking them to a park? You know, no. They stay locked up in the dementia unit 24/7 looking at the four walls, and they've stated themselves to us, it's making them feel like they're going crazy. The VA covers up too much. We had a friend that used to live above my dad's apartment that was a veteran. And unfortunately, one doctor doesn't confer with the other doctor. And so what happened, he got two different medications that did not do good with each other. And they were wondering after 2, 3, 4, 5 days why he wasn't coming to men's therapy group. So they did a health and welfare. Well, it turned out about 4 or 5 days before he had died. I'll leave the rest to your imagination. According to the former manager there, it was a horrific sight. Of course, it got covered up. And that's what they do. When you go to them and you bring something to their safety officer, they come back and say, well, we're going to look into it. We're going to investigate it, but we're never going to let you know what the results are. Doesn't that sound convenient? And this is what goes on at the Roseburg VA. When I was going to another clinic in another state, I was getting my treatment there for a period of time because I was there more than 2 months. And I would tell them I was from the Roseburg, Oregon VA. And they would laugh and say, I'm so sorry, and pat my shoulder in empathy for me. I took my friend back to New York where she was going to live with her sister and brother-in-law. He is a Vietnam veteran battling cancer. He goes to the Albany, New York VA. When I told them there I was from Roseburg, when they asked, they could tell by my accent I wasn't from the East Coast, and I told them I was from Roseburg, they laughed and said, oh, we're so sorry. Did you see that article in the newspaper? Now, I don't know if it was the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or the Wall Street newspaper, but one of those newspapers back on the East Coast, and believe me, it wasn't too kind about Roseburg VA. That was many, many years ago. Has anything changed? No. What is the old saying they say, you keep trying to do something over and over and over again, hoping for different results? That is the definition of insanity. And I'm telling you right now, whether they want to blame Washington, D.C. Veterans Administration, which we keep hearing Vision 20 keeps blaming Washington, D.C. VA, or the VA Washington, D.C. wants to blame Vision 20 in Vancouver Barracks, Washington. I don't care. You guys can keep playing the blame game. Nothing has changed. Now you've got this Cerner program that you're forcing on at least 3 or 4 VAs across the nation. And now you want to push it on Chicago, Illinois. The Cerner program does not work. I don't care how many billions of dollars it took for you to invent it and bring it online. It is not user-friendly. It is abusing our medical providers, our doctors, our nurses, and those people who are trying to service the veteran community throughout the country. And now you want to push it on Chicago, Illinois as well? Folks, this is not veteran-friendly. And the VA Roseburg has some very serious issues that they're not willing to deal with. And the director will not meet with me. He will not meet with my husband and I, who both of us have been in the nursing field for many, many years. Both of us have, each of us, 35 years in the military under our belt. And he's only willing to give me 20 to 30 minutes of his time. He'll give an hour, hour and a half to other people and other groups. But he's been ignoring me for the last 6 months and now says he's only willing to give me 20 to 30 minutes. Folks, this is Maggie Rose with the Concord Hour here on RBN. I'm going to be back with some stories right out of the newspaper about the Roseburg VA.
The changing of sunlight to moonlight, reflections of my life. How they fill my eyes.
I want the truth! tell the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
I see that worried look upon your face. You've got your troubles, I've got mine. She's found somebody else to take your place. You've got your troubles, I've got mine. To have lost my love today. All of my dreams have flown away. Now just like you I sit and wonder why. You've got your trouble.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Maggie Rose here on RBN. Republic Broadcasting Network, your place to come for the real news, the real talk, and the real people. The no spin zone, folks, where you're going to hear only the truth and what is really going on here in this country. And today we are talking about the Veterans Administration, specifically about the VA, Vision 20 in Vancouver Barracks, Washington, and the Roseburg VA. Now, folks, previously in the last 30 minutes, I didn't do a lot of talking about the VA Portland, because when people have gone up there For the most part, we've gotten very good care, and I understand some of the women veterans are being treated fairly decently there. But many of the women veterans I've spoken to in the Pacific Northwest have told me that the care was so substandard that in many cases they had to leave their families behind and go to Boise, Idaho, just to get decent women's care. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but all the pretty flowers and everything around the campus doesn't do an awful lot to lift my mood when you have a current director who is acting just like the other directors before him and just brushing the dirt under the carpet and hoping that everybody's just going to go away. Again, I have been to at least three VA hospitals and spoken to people in New York that go to the Albany, New York, and the people in Albany, New York tell me that the VA administration in Washington, D.C. gives all the best doctors to those VA facilities on the East Coast. By the time the money gets over here to the West Coast, we get whatever's the crumbs that are left over. We get the doctors that can't speak good English, the doctors that are locums, that are what we call like a substitute teacher, substitute doctors. And some of them who are trained in other countries don't even want to be there, and you can tell they don't want to be there. Now, the excuse of why we can't keep good staff at the Roseburg VA has been everything but the kitchen sink they've thrown in, to the point where doctors who come here, it's because they want to be able to fish and hunt and do water sports, and this is a great place for that. But their poor little wives can't do the kind of shopping they want. They don't have the Joseph, you know, Magnum or Emporium and the fancy big Macy's stores and everything like they would have even in places like Portland or in Eugene. So you can't retain really good doctors and their wives to stay here in this area, which they want to still consider rural. But is that really helping financial-wise? Why are they not paying their federal police the kind of money in Roseburg VA that they're paying for the federal police up in Portland that are actually maintaining the law enforcement on the VA campus in Portland? Why is there such a disparity between the veterans VA federal police officers in one place when 3 hours away, they're not given the same consideration? There is such a disconnect here, folks. I have had so many providers tell me, some even in Eugene, Oregon, they're not listening to us. I've heard the advocates. I've heard the advocates in Eugene, the advocates in Roseburg, and also on the coast around the Bandon area saying, the VA doesn't listen to us. Vision 20 is not listening to us. They say one thing, they do something else, and they just brush us off. I think they use the advocate program, which maybe once in a while they have a couple little success stories, but nothing that really makes a difference. They're using them like a wall between the veteran and the directors. Now what's happened in the main administration building at the VA campus in Roseburg is now the door is kept locked and you have to have a password to get into the hallway to get down to the office, to the front window where the director's secretary is. That doesn't sound to me like an open door policy. It doesn't sound to me like a director who really cares. If a director has 8 to 10 hours a day working or even longer with the kind of big bucks he's making, why is he only granting a woman veteran or any veteran 20 to 30 minutes of his time who's been trying to see him for 6 months and even longer? Why is the director of the VA Roseburg meeting from time to time with groups of 3, 4, 5 men, even once a month, and he meets with them anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half, or maybe even longer, but he won't meet with a single veteran who's been trying for 6 months to get in and have an hour of his time? A veteran who has given both of his secretaries pages and pages of notes and topics for us to be able to zero in and identify the horrific way the military culture is being treated here at the Roseburg VA. Why the providers are not being listened to. Why some providers are being written up by other nurses because the other nurses want those providers to do this or do that or do the other thing. and that they're trying to second guess what a medical doctor or what a nurse practitioner would he or she might believe is best for their patient. Why are nurses now believing they can get on their high horse and go behind the back of a medical doctor or behind the back of a nurse practitioner, male or female, and try to circumvent what that provider believes is best for their patient? Why is that going on? Why in the clinics are we being given appointments? And when we get in to see our provider, we're being told, guess what? Another provider just up and flew the coop. And now we have another 200 to 300 patients or veterans we have to spread between all the other providers that are already up to their eyeballs and on top of their heads with too much work. And then on top of all that, they're trying to say, now you have to deal with the Cerner program, which is not a good system. It's not user-friendly. It doesn't work. And it can actually kill veterans. The Cerner system does not work. Now they've taken away my healthy vet and they put another thing in place. And my husband and I just said, forget this. Can't even get into this other one. Why is the VA Roseburg and Vision 20 in Vancouver Barracks, Washington, not listening to their providers, not listening to their advocates? Well, let me read a couple stories to you. 2017, December 31st, article in the New York Times News Service. Doctors, Roseburg VA Hospital is denying patients in order to boost their ratings. Again, the New York Times Service, December 31st, 2017, by Dave Phillips, with two L's and two P's, New York Times. United States Air Force veteran Walter Savage, 81 years of age, who was denied admittance to the local veterans hospital outside the Roseburg Rosehaven Nursing Center in Roseburg. Doctors and nurses at the Roseburg VA Medical Center believe administrators are limiting the number of patients it admits in an effort to lift its quality of care ratings. An 81-year-old veteran hobbled into the emergency room at the Rural Veterans Affairs Hospital in December 2017. Malnourished and dehydrated, his skin flecked with ulcers, and his ribs broken from a fall at home. The doctors were mad. The nurses were mad, said Savage's son-in-law, Mark Riddleman. And my dad, he was mad too. He kept saying, quote, I've laid my life on the line 2 years in Vietnam, and this is what I get, unquote. The denial appeared to be part of an attempt by members of the Roseburg Veterans Administration Medical Center to limit the number of patients it admitted to the hospital in an effort to lift its quality of care ratings. Fewer patients meant fewer chances of bad outcomes and better scores for a ranking system that grades all veterans hospitals on a scale of 1 to 5 stars. In 2016, administrators began cherry-picking cases against the advice of doctors, turning away complicated patients and admitting only the lowest-risk ones in order to improve metrics, according to multiple interviews with doctors and nurses at the hospital and a review of documents. Those metrics helped determine both the Roseburg Hospital's rating and the leadership's bonus checks. Let me repeat that again. Those metrics help determine both the Roseburg Hospital's rating and the leadership bonus checks. By denying veterans care, the ratings climbed rapidly from 1 star to 2 in 2016, and the director earned a bonus of $8,120. Current and former staff members say the practice may reach well beyond Roseburg. Recent government reports also challenged the reliability of the department's metrics, casting doubt on a key tool that it says it relies on for reforming its beleaguered healthcare system. The hospital's director at the time, Doug Paxton, acknowledged that being more selective had improved ratings, but denied that the hospital was turning patients away to improve scores. Tightening admissions, he said, benefited patients and metrics because Roseburg's hospital lacks the resources for acute patients so many need to be sent to larger hospitals in the community. Let me stop right there, folks. It's because Vision 20 and the VA Washington, D.C. are taking away our ICU. They won't give us a cardiologist. They won't give us the specialty that we really need. They want to do everything by video chat instead of having a doctor look at you and touch you and really examine you properly. So then you'll get passed off to Mercy Hospital, which many of the doctors and nurses at Mercy in Roseburg won't even go to themselves, even though they work there, because they know it's not a first-rate hospital. You see, they managed to bankrupt the county hospital many, many years ago, over 20 years ago, and so they became the only game in town. So they didn't really have to stay on top of their game. They didn't really have to improve themselves. Under Catholic Charities, they make it look like they're a top-rate hospital, but they are not. Many veterans have joked, if you want to go and die, the place to go is Mercy. So many people will jump in the car and drive to Cottage Grove or to Eugene or even to Riverbend, Springfield, before they'll be seen by Mercy. Because now Vision 20 has again, this is not the first time, have closed down the excellent ER we had with excellent providers there, like Mary Curtis, like Dr. Bradley, and so many others. And now they've turned it into an urgent care that's open at 8 o'clock in the morning and closes by 4 or 4:30 in the evening. Maybe a little bit beyond. But now if you get sick in the evening or during the weekend, you have to go to Mercy, if you'll even make it. As to this, the numbers are indicators, quote, of the quality of care, he says, for the veterans. So sure, we're worried about the numbers, he said. But if you improve the care to veterans in turn, your numbers are going to improve. That's the bottom line, unquote. Well, then why aren't you improving our care? Why does a person go from 2017 to 2023 before they're told after three or four echocardiograms they have an aneurysm? Why is a person seen in your ER and told there's nothing wrong with him, but to follow up on the outside, and you send him home, and it turns out a few hours later he goes to another facility and he's got advanced pneumonia and has to be put in ICU because you've got a locum doctor that's misdiagnosing and can barely speak English in the urgent care? What about giving an elderly man too much Lasix when you don't really understand the balance is very delicate for him? But the nurses are wanting to over-medicate him on Lasix, and they're pushing the providers to do this because they want to use medication. They want to use drugs as a form of restraint. And if these licensed nurses and registered nurses don't understand the delicate balance of a person who's being given Lasix, and you end up killing that patient, his body organs close down because you guys pushed and pushed and pushed until he had too much Lasix and his body couldn't handle it. That's murder. That's malpractice. And it's not the fault of the providers. It's the fault of those nurses that are not really paying attention to the patient. They're not reading all the records going back to find out what the delicate balance is. Or they're wanting to use psychotropic drugs, chemicals, as a restraint on veterans, because they don't want to spend time talking with them when they're eating, or spend time talking to them when they don't have nursing notes to do and they don't have to do medications. They just can sit back in their nurse's station, but they want to use drugs as a way to keep the patients in their room so they don't have to pay that close attention to them. The article went on in the New York Times to say five emergency room doctors strongly disagreed with this Mr. Paxton. In a letter in response to questions from the New York Times, they said they had warned about the arrangement at Roseburg where physicians are repeatedly overruled by administrators. Again, the doctor strongly disagreed with the director at the time and also with the current director. In a letter in response to the questions from the New York Times, they said they had warned about the arrangement in Roseburg where physicians are repeatedly overruled by administrators. Quote, when we voice concern that a process is dangerous and not good for patient care, unquote, they wrote. Quote, we are met with the response that this is what the director wants, unquote. Quote, we cannot express strongly enough how detrimental this process has been for patient care and how unacceptable it would be anywhere else, the letter noted. The day after Savage was turned away, he showed up again asking for help. Again, he was denied. He waited for hours in the emergency room until a doctor finally admitted him against the wishes of the administration. His son-in-law said, the administration, ever mindful of metrics, moved him to a nursing home in less than 24 hours. The Department of Veterans Affairs began grading hospitals about 4 years ago based on 110 performance indicators such as wait times, infection rates, and nurse turnover at its 1,200 hospitals and clinics. And on the surface, the scrutiny, it says here, appears to have paid off. In 2016, according to the department, 82% of facilities improved. But not Roseburg. Even Roseburg, for years a hospital in this logging town, which had no intensive care unit and has limited surgery facilities, has struggled with the challenges many rural hospitals face. It was hard to attract new doctors. A small staff meant that just one open position would create a pileup of delays. Doctors constantly left for higher paying jobs outside the system. But as more patients were sent away in the recent years up to now, Roseburg was recognized by the Department of Affairs as one of the rising stars of its healthcare system. Are you kidding me? However, interviews with staff at the hospital suggest that some improvements were pure manipulation, and in some cases, efforts to improve the rating actually made care worse. Quote, it's a numbers game. The leadership has figured out the hospital could actually do better by seeing less patients, unquote, said Dr. Stephen Blum, a hospitalist there, who said he has seen patients regularly turned away or transferred to private hospitals. Quote, these numbers show up on the director's report card, so it's very important that they look good, unquote. On average, more than half the hospital's beds now sit empty, he said, while patients either are sent home or transferred to private hospitals at government expense. Costly transfers do not come out of the Roseburg budget, but they do protect the hospital by making risks to other facilities books. The focus on improving scores overshadowed deep-seated problems, staff said, including crippling turnover in primary care doctors. In 2015, 17 of the 23 primary doctors left, according to Lauren Follett, who oversaw scheduling for Roseburg's primary care clinic. Quote, teams would have no doctors and we'd have to just cancel appointments, unquote, she said. She resigned in 2016. Dangerous gaps appeared when doctors ordering critical tests were no longer around to review the results and alert patients. Folks, that my husband and I have been experiencing right along for 20 years, especially the last five. It goes on to say, several nurses said they saw positive cancer screening alerts and other critical lab results languish for weeks or even months. Let me repeat that again. Several nurses at Roseburg VA said they saw positive cancer screening alerts and other critical lab results languish for weeks or even months. Quote, alerts go into the Neverland, unquote, said Treva Moss, a nurse who works in the medical center specialty clinic in Eugene. This fall, a number of employees complained to their congressman. It was at that time Peter DeFazio. Now it's Val Hoyle, who blasted the hospital management on the floor of the House Representatives as dysfunctional. At his request, the department is conducting an investigation, unquote. Yeah, let's see where that goes. Roseburg's decision to cloak their deficiencies by manipulating their metrics is part of a persistent problem that reaches beyond one rural hospital, said Dr. Michael Mann, a professor of surgery at the University of San Francisco, who led the thoracic surgery program at San Francisco's Veterans Hospital 8 years ago. Attempts to track performance in the veterans' healthcare system have repeatedly created perverse outcomes, he said. He pointed out that the 2014 scandal exposing hidden wait times for veterans arose only after the department began tracking whether medical appointments were scheduled within 14 days, and veterans hospitals across the country that could not meet the goal began keeping off the books list to hide the actual wait times. During Mann's tenure, the Veterans Department began ranking hospitals on surgical complications. Remarkably, complications across the nationwide system dropped steadily, decreasing 47% between 97 and 2007. Of course, quote, quality had not really improved by that much, Mann said. People had just learned to make it appear that it had. On Friday, folks, we're going to be reading to you another article that came out January of 2018 about the Roseburg Veterans Administration Medical Center and attempting to limit the patients as admitted. This was another article that came out a year later. Even though it knew that that article came out in the New York Times, a year later, did anything approve? No. They just keep going through directors like a department revolving store door. And I'm trying to talk to the director. I put in my request 3 months before he came, which was over 8 months ago. I've been requesting to see him for the last 6 months. I put in a paper with my advocate in June that still has not been addressed. And there's at least five main issues that we need to discuss. Me as not only a veteran and my husband as a veteran, but also as a nurse of what is going on here in the Veterans Administration. Unless you're a doctor with high titles after your name and you're part of the good old boy system at the very top of the white ivory tower, you're just ignored. You're told maybe I'll give you 20 to 30 minutes. Folks, this is Maggie Rose. We'll be back on Friday with more of this about the Roseburg VA system in Roseburg, Oregon. And we might even be able to bring in some veterans who can talk about their own personal stories and what they've experienced with the Vision 20 in Vancouver Barracks, Washington, and with the VA system in Roseburg, Oregon. Again, this is Maggie Rose with the Concord Hour. God bless you all and have a good night. And remember, Veterans Day is coming up on the 11th of November. Please pray for our veterans and their families, especially those that are being ignored or neglected throughout the VA system across this nation. Remember the old article that came out. Delay, delay, deny, deny, and hope we die in the process. Delay, delay, deny, deny, and hope we die in the process. Unquote. Our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. Cause it's right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking back. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.